Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. To jump in, I just first wanted to say, even though it might not feel like fall outside, we're getting into fall, and I don't know about you guys, but in our family, we absolutely love fall time for a couple reasons. One of the reasons is because it's a time where three of my family members, everybody except for me, all celebrate their birthdays within 1 month. It's also a time where my wife absolutely loves pumpkin. If you guys don't know that about her, she's already been starting to bring pumpkin into just about everything we're eating. But the other reason why, you know, we love fall is it's a time of refocus. And as the kids go back to school, we come off of this season oftentimes of mayhem in the summer as you're doing so many different things. It's a time to really settle back into a routine. And I think as believers, we really need that. I think that's part of the reason why we have seasons. And as a church, one of the things we did for kind of refocusing our lives on God was about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, we did a mid-year time of prayer and fasting. And that was a time to try and eliminate distraction and busyness in our lives and really focus in on what God has for us. And the reason why we do that is because that's what Jesus modeled, of him being focused. And as we jump into this new series on In Focus, what we want to do is really learn from what Jesus modeled and how he was able to be so focused in really just a 3-year ministry. You think about all he was able to accomplish. He really did that by hearing from God and knowing what his priorities are and being very, very focused on what he was here to accomplish. Well, one of the things we wanted to jump into is just, again, talking about what did Jesus model in the Bible around focus. So if we talk here about John 17:4, it says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." And what can we learn from this? You know, Jesus finished the work God gave him to do, but Jesus didn't have to do everything, right? He was pouring into his 12 disciples. Again, he spent a lot of time stepping back and going into the wilderness and really focusing in on what he wanted to hear from God. And so that was really a time of focus. But in addition to that, it says that he finished the work you gave me to do. So Jesus worked as well, right? And we're going to talk today as we dig into our priority around Marketplace, which is a ministry that I have the opportunity to lead here at Every Nation. As we talk about Marketplace, it's so important that we understand this context of how God designed work, because that plays such a big role in all the people we're interacting with in the Marketplace. So why don't I pray, and then we'll jump into a bit more of the content on Marketplace. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for being here with us. God, we just pray that we would hear from you in this time, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just be moving in each of us. Lord, as we think about what you have for us, what your will is for our lives, and what does it mean for us to really zero in and focus on that. But even more than that, God, just hearing from you for these priorities that we have for the church, Lord, that it would be clear to everybody how they can step into that and play a big role in all that you're doing here at Every Nation. And God, we just ask you to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So to kick off a little bit more about focus, I wanted to share a bit of a story about a time in my life, in my career journey, where I learned a lot about focus. And I've shared with many people, my wife and my 2 kids and myself, we actually came here to Taipei about a little less than 2 years ago, February of 2021. And that was because of my job at Dell. And I've actually had my whole career at Dell. I started there straight out of college. and started as a product designer and then moved into corporate marketing, and in that transition did a couple different roles. But there was one in particular that I learned a lot about focus. And about 5 years ago, I stepped into a new business unit at Dell that was called the Internet of Things. If you guys don't know what that means, it's basically this idea that over time, everything is going to be connected to the internet. And when we say everything, we mean everything, right? Houses, manufacturing floors, cars, trucks, people, pets, literally everything. It's this idea that we'll all be connected with sensors back to the internet. So the tech guys in here are starting to geek out. I'm not here to talk about Internet of Things. But the challenging thing is that when you start with this goal of trying to connect everything, it's particularly hard to focus in on the key areas that we could go and offer this technology. And so there was a period of time when I was in this role where I literally went from a trucking conference, and I know nothing about trucking, to a manufacturing conference, and I know a little bit about manufacturing, to an energy conference. We were trying to, I think, replace priorities with busyness. And we were trying to go break into all of these different industries. And the result of it, if you go to the next slide, is, I think this represents it really well. This is a illustration from Kerry Newhoff, who's a pastor and speaker and writer, and he coined this as the stress spiral. And unfocused time results in unleveraged energy, hijacked priorities. And I will tell you, in that role, I felt absolutely overwhelmed, overcommitted, and overworked. And needless to say, that business unit doesn't exist at Dell anymore, wasn't particularly effective, and I think that's because we were so unfocused. And that's a very, career-focused, work-focused example, but I don't think God wants us to be in that stress spiral. I don't think God modeled a Sabbath for us or tells us over and over again in the Bible not to worry about tomorrow, if he wants us to be overwhelmed, overcommitted, overworked. And I think it also is clear, at least to me, you've probably experienced this as well, that when you're in this stress spiral, especially near the bottom of it, one of the first things that falls off is your relationship with God. Setting time aside, whether that's in your daily quiet time or just, prayer with him, hearing from him on what his will is for you, oftentimes that's one of the things that falls off as you get more busy and busy. And as a result of that, you actually have less clarity on what your priorities are. And so God doesn't want us to be in this stress spiral. And I think that's also why, again, going back to what Jesus modeled, why he spent so much time in prayer and fasting. There were a lot of people that wanted his attention. There were a lot of people that he could have spent more time with. But again, he didn't. He stepped back and focused on what does God have for him. So if you go to the next slide, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, again, I think represents this well. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So two things that I really pulled out from that. Right after it says about don't be unwise but wise, but it says making the most of every opportunity. How do we make the most of every opportunity without clear priorities and without focus? And then the verses finish with understanding what the Lord's will is. And I think that to me, again, represents why Jesus was so focused on prayer and fasting. And this illustration that Kerry Newhoff had of the stress spiral, he talks a lot about how do we change that into more of this thrive cycle. And so again, tying us back to what Jesus modeled, focused time comes from hearing from God and clarity on what his will is, leveraging that time so that you're focused in the right priorities, engaging with the right people, spending time where it really matters. That results in these realized priorities. And ultimately, I think that comes from that results in thriving, which is this whole idea of bearing much fruit. That's how Jesus is able to say, "I have accomplished all the work you gave me to do." And so I really want us to think about how do we take this Thrive Cycle and what Jesus modeled and apply it to our church, apply it to all of the efforts that the many, many volunteers and staff at this church and all of you in the congregation, how do we ensure that we are following what Jesus modeled and we have leveraged time, we have our time focused and we're realizing these priorities. And one of the ways that that starts off is really by having clarity about what our mission is and what these priorities are. And Bertina was already talking a little bit about this, but if you guys don't know, we do have a mission statement as a church. And this is actually a mission statement that comes from Every Nation Global. And it says, we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And we pull our priorities directly from that. If you go to the next slide, our first three priorities come directly from that mission statement. Campus ministry, church planting, and global missions. We're going to spend time talking about each of these. The other two that we've also added on through prayer and really hearing from God and just an understanding of the location and the culture that we're here in Every Nation Taipei is marketplace and family. And so we're actually going to kick off this In Focus series. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks going through each of these, but we're going to start with marketplace today. My wife will actually come up and talk about family ministry next week. And then we'll jump into the other three that really come from the Every Nation Global movement. Over the course of those 5 weeks, there's a couple things we really want the whole congregation to walk away with. The first thing is we want you to understand what are the biblical principles for these priorities. What was God's design in the Bible? What can we pull out of all of that teaching that we can apply to what we should do as a church when we think about each of these priorities? And in addition to that, we also want you to clearly come away with how can you get involved? What are the opportunities for you to step into as God might be leading you as you spend time in prayer and asking him what his will is for you? Where are some places that you can step into? And that's also why we are tying this priority series or In Focus series to the volunteer day today and next weekend so that you have the opportunity to actually go back to and talk to people in many of these different ministries and learn about opportunities to get plugged in. And so specifically, this slide ties to what I'll spend the rest of my time talking about around marketplace ministry. The first one is God's design for work, and I'm going to do my best to stay as focused in that as possible. I could spend hours talking to you about God's design for work, but I'll stay focused on it. We'll also talk about why Jesus focused on the marketplace, and he did. Much of his ministry was in the marketplace, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how do we follow Jesus' example in our marketplace as we each have a role to play because of the skill set and the influence that God has given us in our marketplace. What do we do to follow Jesus' example? And then we'll wrap up with a few specific areas of marketplace ministry of how you can get involved. And you can come and find me afterwards and love to talk more about the marketplace ministry. I have the boring booth right over there. Everybody else has like candy and a disco ball and all kinds of stuff to make their booth look fancy. But come and see me over in my booth over here. So anyways, let's jump in and talk about God's design for work. And there's, again, lots of things that I could spend time talking to you about. And much of this comes from a book that I also love talking about called Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller. If you guys haven't read that book, I highly encourage you to read that. Again, it's Every Good Endeavor, and it really goes through all of the biblical principles of work and how we should think about everything we do in our work being a way of worshiping God. But two things I want you to specifically walk away with today. The first one is that work was part of God's original design. Not too long ago, I had a misconception of work being as a result of more of the fall, and it being more about toiling and hardship, and this being something that we just have to do, but it's really not. It's part of the absolute original design, and we'll dig into that here in a second. As well as work being an opportunity for us to continue God's work through this idea of cultivation, as we take what he did and continue it, we're actually cultivating the earth. And by doing that, it's actually a form of worship back to God. So those are the two things I really want you to take away as we dig in here. And if you go to the first verse is Genesis 2, 1 through 2. Going way back to the beginning. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work." The Bible specifically tells us that God worked, right? And so when we're created in God's image, working is actually part of that. This was part of his original design. He also, as I mentioned earlier, on the seventh day, rested from work. If you guys think about it, God didn't need to rest, right? God is all powerful. He didn't need that seventh day as a rest, but he modeled it for us because he knew, as we were created, that we need that rest. We need that balance to make sure that we're spending time hearing from him. Genesis 2:15, just a couple of verses further on, it said, the Lord God took the man, this is Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. I think the big thing we really want you to take away from that is, in the Garden of Eden, there was work. God could have created the Garden of Eden to be completed. Adam could have just wandered around all day, hanging out with God. But God knew that Adam wouldn't find as much purpose in that. And so he had work for him to do. He had to cultivate the garden. And we'll talk more about some of that specific work that Adam did in a few more verses. So that's God's original design for work. Even in the Garden of Eden, which is also a vision of the future of what we can expect in heaven. And so I think if there was work in the Garden of Eden, we should expect that there's work in heaven too, and that we'll continue to find purpose in that. So let's talk more about cultivation and how this idea of cultivating the earth is actually a form of worship back to God. Genesis 2, 26 through 28, it says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" And so specifically when he says, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it," this is an idea that God actually created the world, but he didn't finish it. He created everything for us to actually continue his work. He didn't fill the earth. He gave us the work of filling the earth as we continue what he did. And this idea of cultivation and enabling culture and society to continue to grow and prosper, and that actually brings worship back to God. And again, talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden, if you go to the next slide, one more verse on this, it says in Genesis 2, 19 through 20, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." So again, this was part of Adam's work in the garden. But God brought him all the animals and said, "Hey, Adam, you can name these." Again, God could have named each of the animals as he was creating them, but instead, he brought them to Adam, gave Adam the task to do it. And I think, again, Adam being created in God's image, this actually was Adam worshiping God and brought joy to God because he saw the intelligence that he had created in Adam to come up with all these names of these animals. And I say all of this, this isn't a sermon on work, it's a sermon on marketplace, but I think as each of you go out into your marketplace, it's so important that you have that context. Because when you're going and buying fruit from somebody in the stall at the market, as you're thinking about that actually being that person created in God's image, and that's why they are doing the work of providing this fruit, or the security guard, or your kid's teacher, as you interact with them, they're not there to just serve you. They're there in a way of worshiping God. And God's looking down on that person and they are completing the work that God gave them to do in cultivation. And I think that totally changes how we think about people and how we think about maybe lesser and more important roles in society. All of those roles in society are so important in God's eyes. Okay, so that's a little bit on God's design for work. Let's jump into why Jesus focused on the marketplace. And maybe a bit of a definition of marketplace. So marketplace is the place where exchange of goods, service, ideas, and opinions take place. It's the place of commerce. So it's work, it's education, it's government, it's all of these different places. And you each play a role in that. Even if you don't necessarily have a full-time job or a group of coworkers that you're working with daily, you each play a role in the marketplace as you're interacting with people in all these different ways. And again, Jesus modeled the importance of marketplace. And these are just a few examples of that. But if you dig into his public appearances in his 3 years of ministry, 122 of his 132 public appearances were in the marketplace, right? They weren't necessarily all in temples or churches, right? Many of them were in the marketplace. A ton of his parables, 45 of 52 of his parables have a workplace context. And you can probably start thinking about many of those, a shepherd going after lost sheep, a farmer sowing seeds, a fisherman and where he's throwing his net, putting wine in new or old wineskins, whether you sew a new patch on old clothes, all of those different things are people in a workplace context. Because we spend so much of our thought time and so much of our energy and identity is found in our efforts in work, because again, God gave us this task to do. And then also, I think it's such an important part that we also think about Jesus when he was baptized by John, and when you hear from God that this is my son, in him I'm well pleased, that's before he had actually done any ministry, right? He was a carpenter and spent much of his adult life in the marketplace. And in that moment, God said, with him, I am well pleased, because of his efforts in the marketplace, because of his, you know, what he did as a carpenter before his ministry had actually started. So marketplace obviously played a very big role in what Jesus did. And I also think it's important for us to think about our marketplace here in Taipei. And I said this, the reason why this is one of our key priorities is because of the location and culture that we're in. And so think about the importance of Taipei. A big part of the reason why I'm here in Taipei, why God brought me here, is because Taipei is actually one of the leading cities for researching and producing electronics. Many of the industry leaders out there have their Asian operations run out of here in Taipei. It's a big part of the reason why Taipei is actually the second wealthiest city per capita in all of Asia. TSMC is a great example of that. If you guys aren't familiar with the leader in the semiconductor industry is here in Taiwan. And so all of that gives us an opportunity as a church to be thinking about the people that we're surrounded with, many of the people that are coming through this church, the influence that they have as they go back out into the global marketplace. We have an opportunity to engage with them here directly in Taipei. We don't necessarily have to go on a mission trip to go and engage with these people, and they're going to go out and impact all of these different industries. In addition to that, we have NTU right around the corner, and NTU is one of the top 100 ranked universities in the world. I know we have many people that are part of our congregation from NTU and from other leading universities. And that's another great example of the people that are coming into our church are going to go out and impact all of these different industries. I know for me, I've never gone to church with so many PhD candidates before in my life. There's like so many, I talk to people, a lot of the students, it's like, holy cow, you're a PhD and you're going for a PhD. And so each of them have such a, you know, just a fantastic opportunity to go and influence the future of many different industries. And so I believe that's why God has called us to focus on the marketplace here in Every Nation Taipei. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about how do we follow Jesus's example in our marketplace. And I want to spend a little bit of time telling you a bit more of my background story as God has kind of led me here and challenged me in different ways as I thought about my career and my role in the marketplace. And so if I go back I became a Christian actually in college, and so I've been a Christian for my whole career. But interestingly, I think early on in my career, I had given Jesus my life, but I was still holding on to parts of my career. I felt like I had to orchestrate some of that myself. And what that resulted in is I was striving for control. I wanted control, and to me that meant financial gain, control over the future. And along those same lines, also striving for approval. Like I really valued what my peers and what my boss thought of my work. And I also found myself to be very competitive, striving for every opportunity for visibility. And then finally, probably the biggest one, as I mentioned, was I really saw my efforts in the marketplace that I actually was earning some of that success. And as opposed to thinking about that success coming from God, that somehow I was, again, orchestrating it myself because of my hard work studying or because of my intelligence or because of any of these different reasons, when all of that comes from God. And that resulted in really a lack of balance and an inability to truly put God first. And so actually about 5 years ago, I started to interact with a mentor. This was back in Austin. And 5 years ago, I mentioned, was also about the time I was in this role in IoT, and nearly the time when our daughter Elizabeth was born as well. So a busy time in life. And this mentor set me aside and said, "Hey, what would you do if you knew that sharing the gospel at work would get you fired?" I'm like, whoa, that's a big question, you know? And the reason why he asked me that question is because through other conversations with me, he knew that I was putting too much of my identity in work and holding on to my career. And so he was trying to shake me out of that with that question. And you know, I thought about it for a while, and it became clear to me that I was trying to control my career. And in that question, I realized, I started thinking about, oh man, the risks of that. Like, oh, well, what could happen to that opportunity to go get the next, area of visibility or approval from my peers or my boss? I mean, those were the things that were running through my head. And so it became clear that I needed to change how I was thinking about my role in the marketplace. And there were really three key areas that God revealed to me that I needed to change in. The first was I needed to put him first. And this comes from Matthew 6:33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." To me, that looked like when I wake up in the morning, I wasn't supposed to go to my phone to check my email or try and catch up on, oh, what's the next task, but to really prioritize God in my life. And it also meant that I needed to stop trying to get ahead for the week by doing a little bit of work on Sunday, but to actually truly make that a Sabbath and trust that when I log on Monday morning, God's got me. He's not going to throw me into some meeting that I'm not ready for, and I need to go prepare for that on Sunday afternoon. So that's the first one. If you go to the next one, I needed to view success as a gift from God. Not something that I'm doing, not something that I'm orchestrating, but truly a gift from God. And this comes from Deuteronomy 8, it's actually 17 and 18. "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant." And that really hit me of, I'm thinking that somehow I'm making myself able to produce wealth to contribute in the marketplace. But really it's God who's doing this through me. And the last one is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I needed to trust God's plan for my career fully and not just my life. And that's, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Again, that's trusting him to provide for all areas of my career. I don't need to strive for control, for this idea of being confident in my future. God's got that. I can worry about today. And all of this also meant that I can worry more about the relationships in the marketplace that I had and less about, am I achieving what I wanted to achieve? And that tied directly into, again, how do we model what Jesus taught us in our marketplace. And my mentor also brought me through this framework called BLESS. And you guys have heard this a couple of times. Pastor Bruce has also talked about it on stage, and we use it in a couple of our different trainings as well. But BLESS is basically learning from Jesus and his disciples and their early ministry. It's five life patterns for us to focus on influencing people far from God with the love of Jesus. It's a very simple framework. It takes time to apply it. So I encourage you guys to really dig into this idea of BLESS. But BLESS starts with beginning with prayer. And this is basically focusing in on learning about the needs and desires and challenges of people that you're interacting with them in the marketplace, hearing from them about their family, hearing from them about what they're trying to achieve, and bringing that to God for them, praying to God about your coworkers, about those interactions in the marketplace, but then also praying for God to reveal to you who he wants you to go to in the marketplace and open up the door for you to be having conversations and engaging with these people. So that's one, begin with prayer. Second is listening with care. So many times in the workplace, our conversations stay so surface level, especially if we're focused on the task at hand or achieving that next thing on the to-do list. But what Jesus modeled is he asked questions and he listened with care. He learned about people. And so try and learn about what people are really interested in, learn about their family. And as you bring those things back to them in conversation, you will find that they open up so much more about themselves and you have an opportunity to engage with them. The third one is eat together. Jesus modeled this many times, just breaking bread with people. And a great example is right after he called Matthew, he had Matthew gather together all of his outcast friends, and he broke bread with them. And the Pharisees are like, what is he doing? But Jesus modeled this for us because he knew the importance of breaking bread with people. After you've done those things, you can serve one another in love. Find opportunities to serve them. And some of these things can be very simple. Celebrating their achievements in life, a baby shower or something like that, by serving them, or sending them a meal when they're in quarantine is a great opportunity right now because lots of people are going through that situation. But just send a meal to their house. That will totally change how they view your relationship with them. And also give them opportunities to serve you. To step into, you know, things that you need. Don't solve it yourself, but actually give people you're interacting with in the marketplace an opportunity to build relationship with you by serving you as well. And all of that creates an opportunity to share your story and your story about how Jesus has transformed your life. And so as we follow this process, it's really about building relationships. It's really about finding ways to engage more deeply with people and not view them as, hey, they're doing this role in the marketplace to serve me, but they are worshiping God. They are following through in God's design for them. And as you interact with them, how do you build a relationship that goes deeper than just that task of the marketplace? And I will tell you, as I've gone through this process of trying to shift away from striving for control and viewing my success more from God, not from what I've done, and investing more in the relationship than the task, I've actually found that I've found tremendously more purpose in my career, and God's actually accelerated my career and entrusted more to me and blessed my career as I've actually spent less time focusing on the task or spent less time trying to prepare myself for that next opportunity for visibility. Okay, last one we'll talk through is how can you get involved? And so the first one is, again, it's so important that you guys understand that marketplace ministry is less about a team of people here at Every Nation, and it's really about all of you and what you do in the marketplace. Every Nation as a church doesn't have the influence in the marketplace you guys do.
for you guys, whether it's interacting with you know, the vendors that you go to regularly, or your coworkers, if you do have a day job, that influence is something that you alone have from God and the skill set that He gave you. And so I want you guys each to think about, what is your role in that? Because I think your role is tremendous in our church reaching our goal of this idea of a marketplace ministry. Comes from each of you playing a role in your marketplace, that position of influence that God has given you. And if you can take one action away from the whole sermon today, it's this idea of beginning in prayer. And so I don't want you to walk away without taking this action. So we're actually going to spend 60 seconds right now. I want you guys to think about just one to two people that you interact with regularly in the marketplace, whether that's a coworker or, again, somebody that you just happen to engage with in your daily life out in the marketplace. Somebody that's far from God, or you just don't know where they stand. And we're going to spend 60 seconds. I want you guys to write down that one to two people, make a note on a piece of paper or write it down on your phone, maybe even set a reminder on your phone to take the action this next week to be praying for them. And if you can't think of anybody, your task is to be asking God to reveal one to two people to you. And I think as you give that to God, you're going to find your eyes open to the people around you and your opportunity to influence them. So we're going to take 60 seconds right now and do that. And it's going to be awkwardly silent in here so you can focus on it. All right, thank you for the music. I think it's been about 60 seconds. So again, I challenge you guys to really zero in on beginning with prayer, lifting people up that you're engaging with to God, being an advocate for them to God, and then follow through on what the Holy Spirit tells you when there's opportunities to have conversations with them and go deeper. And to wrap up, there's just a couple of other opportunities. So if you're thinking about, okay, begin with prayer, but how do I follow through on some of the rest of this BLESS framework? We do have an opportunity for you. We have a guided worksheet, basically, for you to put more of that into practice, as well as just learning more about each of those. You know, where do we draw this from in the Bible? But I will challenge you that if you're the type of person that wants to just check a box and say, oh, I completed this, I'm good, I'd rather you didn't do the worksheet. I want the worksheet to be the springboard if you're going to go and actually apply it in the marketplace, because writing it down on a sheet of paper does nothing. It helps you make progress, but in the grand scheme of things, marketplace ministry is really all about you taking advantage of the relationships that you have. And so I want you to go out into the marketplace and play this role that God has given each of us. So we'll have that worksheet that you can spend some time on to dig into BLESS a bit more. We also have opportunities around career discussions that we'll be doing here. We've done a couple of them in the past where we'll put out invitations to young professionals and students to come and hear from business leaders about how do you find purpose in your career? It's such a common question for people. And, you know, hearing from God of what I should do next. So we want to share more about these biblical principles. And so we're going to have more of those events. So I encourage you guys, as we share more about that, I think our next one will be coming up in October. And we'd love for you to reach out and invite people in your marketplace to step into that. And then finally, my last encouragement would be to think about those group of people in the marketplace that God has put you in a position of influence with, to think about pulling them into a connect group and actually engaging them with them more deeply. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a Bible study, but just to pull them into a deeper relationship with you, learn about them. And I believe as you do that, you will find that they will experience Jesus through you, even if you're not necessarily doing a Bible study with them. And that will evolve over time into an opportunity to dig more into the Bible, or even do something like Alpha with people that you're interacting with in the marketplace. So in closing, I really want you to walk away with three things, right? The importance that the marketplace played in Jesus's ministry, you know, as he modeled this focus on dedicating time to hearing from God and then following through on the will that God gave him. And then finally, marketplace ministry is not a role for a small team. It's for all of you. And I encourage you all to go out into your marketplace and really hear from the Holy Spirit about who he wants you to interact with. And I'll just close up by just praying real quick to commission you as you do go out into your marketplace. Heavenly Father, God, we just are so thankful for how you've taught us to work and how we find purpose in that work. God, we pray that you would help us to view that as a way to worship you and not strive for success in the worldly way of financial gain or promotion, but success in the in what you've modeled for us in blessing those around us and sharing more about what Jesus has done in our lives. God, I just commission each of these people here as they go out into their marketplace, God, that you would lead them, that you would just empower them to have deep relationships with the people that they're interacting with, that they wouldn't view them as checking a box on the to-do list, but a person that you've put them in a position of influence with and that you've called them to go and share more about you with them. God, I just pray that they would feel you leading them in that even this week. And Lord God, we thank you for what Jesus modeled for us in spending time with you and how that's actually the most important thing, not trying to control our careers or our marketplace ourselves, but trusting in you as you lead us. God, that we would turn more to you, hearing from you in prayer and in a Sabbath, and finding balance in our efforts in the marketplace. Lord God, we give all this to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.